Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. My name is Thomas. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope your week is off to a great start. This week, we have something a bit special for you. We'll be sending you off into a good night's rest all week with a short 3-episode series. In each of these episodes, we start at an old jewellery shop. But this is no ordinary jewellery shop. It's supremely relaxing, and its charming owner, Adele, has a plethora of great stories to share about the pieces and old treasures in her shop. So today, Wednesday, and Thursday, it will be me reading you a new story from Adele's jewellery shop. I think you're really going to like it. If you're enjoying the show and wondering about how you can support us, the very best way to do this is by subscribing to our supporters' feed, Get Sleepy Premium. It gets you access to our entire catalogue of bedtime stories and meditations, all ad-free. Plus, you get a bonus episode each Thursday, like the one from Adele's jewellery shop that I'll be reading this week. That third episode will only be available on Get Sleepy Premium. So if you like the stories tonight and Wednesday, then we'd love you to consider subscribing so that you don't miss out on the final one of the series. Go to our website at getsleepy.com/support or follow the link in the show notes to learn more about it. Now before we join Adele for the first of her treasured tales, make sure that you're comfortable and relaxed in your bed. Take a deep breath in. And as you breathe out, leave the day behind you. Feel yourself settling down into the softness of your pillow and the support of your mattress. It's so familiar and comforting. And now that you're here, all you need to do is rest. As your thoughts begin to fade, you can simply rest your attention on my voice and allow your imagination to run free with tonight's story. Imagine a window, a shiny one, that catches the light of the afternoon sun. As you gaze at the glass, you notice different points of reflection. A sparkling pinprick of light, then another, and another. Your eyes follow the shining points as you move closer to the window, curious to discover what's on the other side. It's a shop window, but the store doesn't appear to have a name. It just bears the word jewelry on a faded wooden sign above the window. The letters are painted elegantly, though it seems a very long time ago. They could even be as old as the cobblestone beneath your feet. You cross the road slowly, mesmerized by the shimmering glass. You reach a warm patch of sunlight right in front of the shop. Cup your hands around your eyes to shield the sun and peer through the window. It looks like the contents of a treasure chest. Rings, necklaces, pendants, bracelets, brooches, charms, and cufflinks. You've never seen so much jewelry in one place. Looking closer, you notice everything is artfully arranged. Necklaces are looped over ornamental stands in order of size, growing progressively smaller. Bracelets are organized by color to create a repeating pattern. There's something intriguing about the shop and the treasures inside, so you decide to take a look. You push open the door and hear the delicate chime of a bell. You step through the doorway and detect a soft coolness to the air inside the shop. Your eyes take a moment to adjust to the dim lighting. It's a small room, but organized to make the most of its available space. Shelves and display cases line the walls. A bronze ceiling fan whirs softly above. There's a musty, yet comforting floral scent. Potpourri, perhaps. And then, yes, there it is. A bowl of crushed rose petals hidden among the glass cases. You realize that there's a door at the back of the room. It was camouflaged by the dim light. Then, the door creaks open, and a woman emerges. The shop owner. She's older, with artistic glasses and long grey hair tied in a bun. Her attire is simple, but selected with a certain elegance. And as you would expect, she's dripping in jewelry. Pearl necklaces adorn her neck, and when she waves hello, you see that every finger bears at least one ring. The shop is clearly a reflection of the owner's taste. She welcomes you and introduces herself as Adele. She's making a pot of tea, but she'll be with you in just a moment. You begin to browse the display cases. They're less crowded than the shop window, but there's still so much to see. A miniature sign in the shape of a pointed hand invites you to open a drawer beneath the case. You carefully pull it open and discover yet another glass case, filled entirely with blue jewelry and gemstones. Sapphire, topaz, lapis lazuli. You don't know how to distinguish one from another, but they gleam rather beautifully. The back door creaks open again, and Adele returns. She's happy that you've discovered the blue drawer, one of the shop's many secrets. She uses a tiny key to open the case and takes out a glass necklace made of blue beads. Each bead is a slightly different shade. One looks like a cloudy sky. Another is veined with gold. One is a pure, deep blue, like the ocean. This bracelet is one of Adele's favorites. It's made of Murano glass. The style is named after an island in the Venetian Lagoon, where locals have practiced the art of glassblowing for centuries. Adele has fond memories of a holiday in Venice, when she was a young woman. She can still vividly remember the trip across the bright blue water of the lagoon to the island of Murano. She remembers watching the glassblowers at work. They take molten glass from a kiln and then blow in a pipe to create a kind of balloon in the glass. The most experienced craftsman, known as the master, must then work very quickly. The glass has to be kept at temperatures of around 500 degrees Celsius. Too hot, and the glass loses its shape. Too cool, and the glass shatters. As she talks, Adele's words paint a picture in your mind. You can visualize the master and his team of craftsmen working together in delicate balance to create vases, sculptures, and jewelry. The master twirls the molten glass round and round. With the lightest of touches, he transforms the shapeless glass into a tree, or an animal, or a dancer. Anything you could imagine. Adele could tell you so much more about the art of glass. She knows all about it. The invention of blown glass, more than 1,000 years ago in Palestine. The names of different glass techniques in Murano, like milk glass, bubble glass, and iridescent glass. Adele's passions are jewelry, craftsmanship, and stories. She likes to find out everything about the objects in her shop, how they were made, and where they come from. Not all of them are valuable, but they're all special to her. In fact, there are some pieces of jewelry that are not for sale. They've been in the shop for decades. Many of the items have been there since her grandfather ran the shop, she says. She points to a small display case on the wall behind the till. You ask if you can see some of them. From where you're standing, they look just like the pieces of jewelry in other cases. Of course, they're all beautiful, but what makes these special? You're curious to know more. Adele seems more than happy to show you. She suggests that you take a seat in the chair near the till and make yourself comfortable. You can even have some tea if you'd like. There's enough in the pot. Two. You're in no hurry. You're beginning to feel pleasantly relaxed in the cool, hushed atmosphere of the shop. and you're enjoying the mixed smell of old metal and flowers. You decide to sit down for a while and rest your feet. Plus, the chair looks inviting. Like everything else in the shop, it's very old. It reminds you of the chairs you've seen in museums and stately homes. There's usually a sign that says, "Do not touch," which naturally only increases your desire to sit. Now, however, you're being invited to sink into the plush velvet. As you relax into the chair, you close your eyes. You breathe in and catch another waft of that enticing floral scent. You can smell the fresh citrus of the herbal tea, too. Your mind traces the trickling sound as Adele pours the tea into each cup. Then you realize it's because everything else is so quiet. The soft trickle of the tea is the only sound in the room. Opening your eyes, you can see the street outside through the window of the front door and the upper part of the shop window. There are people, cars, and bicycles passing by outside, yet the sounds are completely muffled. It's as though you've entered Adele's private world, away from the hustle and bustle of the town beyond the door. Adele hands you a porcelain cup of steaming tea. It's too hot to drink, but there's something so comforting about the smell. Adele places three pieces of jewelry on a silver tray and carries them over. One is a black enameled ring, decorated with a circle of tiny pearls and golden letters around the band. One is a thick gold bracelet, where the strands are interwoven in complex patterns, like a maze. The last is a simple silver chain with a small pendant in the shape of a dog. Some instinct draws you towards the dog. You point to the pendant, and Adele smiles and nods. She's always loved dogs. When she was a child, exploring her grandfather's shop, it was this pendant that caught her attention. Her grandfather knew the story behind the pendant too. After taking a sip of her tea, Adele begins to tell you all about it. Many, many years ago, there was a duchess. She lived in a beautiful house in a valley surrounded by nature. In the morning, she woke up to the twittering of swallows. At dusk, walking through the gardens, she listened to the song of the nightingale. Although her house was vast, with 77 ornate rooms, she preferred to spend her time outside. In truth, the Duchess wanted to be wherever her dog was. The Duchess had always adored dogs. As a child, she had a tendency to adopt the dogs of others. Her father's wolfhound, her mother's cocker spaniel, and the various beagles, whippets, and labradors belonging to her cousins they all gradually became hers. By some natural yet mysterious instinct, all dogs were drawn towards her. They left their owners to seek the company of the young Duchess. Her morning lessons with the Latin tutor were interrupted by a relative's dog, pressing its muzzle against her hand. When she played in the garden, it was just a matter of time before a puppy came scampering over to join her. As she settled down to sleep at night, she became aware of the warm weight of a dog curled up at the end of the bed. The Duchess often asked her parents for a dog of her own. It didn't matter to her what the dog's breed or age was. All she wanted was a pet to call her own, to be with her day and night. She didn't care about Latin lessons, and the company of other children bored her. There was nothing she enjoyed more than running through the gardens, playing an endless game of fetch. The Duchess's parents shared her love for dogs, but they were a little concerned that she sometimes only focused on her furry friends. She was no longer a girl. She should be concentrating on her education and socializing with schoolmates. She ran in the mud instead of visiting the city and immersing herself in culture. So the Duchess grew up without a dog of her own. She gathered affection from the dogs of others whenever she could. When her cousins came to stay, she preferred running off with their dogs. She would hide away in a secret room in the heart of the house. Only she knew of the existence of this 78th room. When no one was looking, she opened the door, disguised behind bookshelves, and smuggled the dogs inside. Buried beneath blankets and cushions, she would spend the whole afternoon safe in the knowledge that no one would disturb her there. As she leafed through the pages of her favourite books, she felt the warm, comforting weight of the pups against her legs. She would idly scratch the dog's ears and ran her fingers through its fur. Oftentimes, puppies would roll around and get lost in the blankets, only to nod off into a nap once they stuck their head out. One day, while hidden away with her cousin's Labrador, the solution came to her. Why had she never thought of it before? Her parents would not buy her a dog, and she was still too young to buy one herself. But if she somehow found a dog and managed to keep it a secret, at least for a little while, her parents would surely be compelled to let her keep it. The Duchess didn't know exactly how to find an ownerless dog. The only dogs she had ever encountered belonged to friends and family. But she suspected that beyond the house, in the farms and villages of the valley, there must be some stray dogs. They might be smelly and dirty, and they wouldn't be pedigrees with shiny coats and fancy names. But that didn't matter to the Duchess. All she wanted was a dog that wanted an owner as much as she wanted a pet. To enjoy an animal's unconditional, positive regard, and to give it back to them. That very evening, once everyone was asleep, she tiptoed past her parents' room and all the way down the long hallway, pausing to listen at every door. Her family and their dogs were all fast asleep. Slowly, step by step, she slipped down the staircase, through the front door, and down the tree-lined path to the front gate. She silently opened the gate and closed it behind her. Then she was out, free to search for the dog that was destined to become hers. It didn't take her long. As she walked briskly down the winding path that led to the nearest hamlet, she heard a high-pitched squeal. Perhaps it was just her imagination, but she had grown up in the countryside, after all, learning to recognize the different types of birdsong. She could distinguish animals' tracks in the mud. She knew which plants were safe to eat, and she certainly recognized a dog when she heard one. It was a cold, windy night. She wrapped her scarf tighter around her neck as she continued down the path, winding through the pines until she came to the river. It was so dark, she could barely see anything except the silver moonlight glistening on the rippling water. She could hear the wind whispering through the pines and the distant hoot of an owl. And she could hear the dog, a puppy. Somehow, it seemed to know she was there, searching for it. The Duchess dropped to the ground and combed through the long grass by the riverbank. She followed the sounds of the squeals until she found him. A tiny black puppy with white paws, all alone by the river's edge. She picked up the puppy and looked into his dark brown eyes. Who would leave him here all alone? She wondered. In that moment, she vowed to look after him forever. She put him in the chest pocket of her coat to keep him warm. She didn't care what her parents thought or what the others expected of her. She would dedicate her life to looking after this dog and the others that would surely follow. From that moment on, the Duchess and her dog were inseparable. He remained a secret only for a day. Although her parents questioned it at first, there was nothing they could do. If they made the Duchess get rid of the dog, the Duchess herself would be the next to leave. And when they saw how happy she was, they could only sigh and shrug. She had always been strong-willed, and the dog would teach her important lessons, like responsibility. The months that followed were some of the happiest of the Duchess's life. She spent the spring in the garden, teaching her dog tricks and throwing sticks for him to fetch. In the summer, the Duchess and her dog swam together in the river, splashing in the cool water, and then drying off in the long grass by the river's edge. As the days grew cooler in autumn, they went for long walks in the surrounding countryside, exploring the woods and fields. In winter, they stayed at home, snuggled up by the fire. With her dog curled up on her lap, snoring quietly, the Duchess felt at peace. Her breaths gradually fell in time with his, their chests rising and falling together. Soon, they were both dozing peacefully, dreaming of warmer days and the adventures to come. Days turned into months, and months into years. The Duchess was growing up. She couldn't stay at home forever, playing with her dog, without a care in the world. At least, that's what her parents said. They encouraged her to meet her three suitors. The first was a duke with a grand house in the city centre. He was handsome and fashionable, one of the most eligible bachelors in the land. And he was rich beyond words. The second was a lord who had a manor by the lake. He was intelligent and witty, the ideal husband. He was even richer than the duke. The third was a prince who lived in a kingdom by the sea. He was beautiful, charming, and cultured. He had travelled throughout the world. He spoke 11 different languages. And he was richer than the duke and the lord put together. The Duchess had dinner with each, one at a time. Her parents insisted that she leave her dog at home, so she could give each man her full attention. The Duchess tried to focus on conversation, though she knew her beloved dog was alone at home. She smiled graciously at each compliment, but her mind was elsewhere. She pictured herself living in the most fashionable quarter of the city, going to parties every night. She envisioned hosting dinners at the manor by the lake, laughing at her husband's jokes. She imagined gazing at the sea from a castle window, planning her next voyage. She could go anywhere, with anyone. As long as her dog was by her side, she thought. After the dinner with each of the gentlemen, the Duchess told her parents that she needed time to think. Early the next morning, she and her dog set off for a long walk in the woods. It was a beautiful summer's day, and all the birds were singing. Starlings, blackbirds, goldfinches. She could recognize each from its song. As she walked along old, familiar trails, her dog trotting happily at her side, the Duchess tried to clear her head. To make the right decision, she needed to empty her mind completely. First, she would focus on her surroundings. The golden sunlight filtering through the trees above, creating shimmering patterns on the ground. The lines and layers of the bark of each tree, spiraling up to the highest branches, out of sight. The shapes and colors of the leaves, infinite shades of green. Then, the sounds. She could hear each chirp, each tweet, echoing through the woods. At this time of the morning, the birds seemed deep in private conversations, talking, joking, or trying to attract a mate. The melodies of the mingling birdsong calmed her. She felt her breath slowing. She walked on through the woods in a peaceful trance, conscious of nothing but the nature surrounding her. The sun grew warmer and brighter, and the birdsong slowly faded. The Duchess became gradually conscious of the hush. She could no longer hear her dog panting. Where was he? She turned around, but there was no sign of her dog. She called his name. Silence. She was used to him running off, chasing a scent, but he always answered when she called him. He always came back. This time, however, her calls were answered with a strange, unfamiliar silence. Although the Duchess knew that no harm would come to him in the woods, she wanted to find him before dark fell. They had never spent a day apart. So the Duchess walked on and on through the woods, calling his name again and again. All thoughts of the Duke, the Lord, and the Prince had vanished. The images of her future with a husband were vague and hazy. But when she pictured her dog bounding towards her through the trees, the image was crystal clear. On and on she walked, deep into the woods. The birdsong returned. Swallows, swifts, and even a nightingale. The daylight was fading. The Duchess's shadow merging into the deepening shade. Soon the fireflies would come out, glittering and dancing through the dusk. Once again, the Duchess called her dog's name. Her voice was beginning to grow hoarse. But then, she heard a noise. Something was rustling in the bushes. Louder and louder. Closer and closer. The dog emerged from a bush and let out a loud, joyous bark. He rushed into her arms, barking excitedly and wagging his tail. He must have chased something all the way over here. As the Duchess scratched him affectionately behind the ear, she had a sudden realization. No embrace with a Duke, Lord, or Prince could compare to this moment. No man or castle could make her as happy as a simple walk through the woods with her favourite companion. The next day, with great tact and politeness, the Duchess declined the Duke, the Lord, and the Prince. On her next birthday, when she inherited her riches, she knew exactly what she wanted to do. First, she bought a small cottage across the valley, on the edge of the woods. She decided to spend the rest of her days there, raising her dog, and perhaps a few others. Then she put her wealth in order. She kept only the money that she needed to live. She gave some of her riches to a charity that looked after animals, and the rest to poor families in the nearby village. Finally, with some of the money that remained, she allowed herself one last extravagance. She made a trip to the city, to a famous jewelry shop in the most fashionable neighborhood, the very street where the Duke lived. She walked straight past the Duke's house and into the jewelry shop, her dog by her side. There, she spoke to the master jeweler and commissioned a necklace. Right there in the shop, the Duchess's dog posed for his portrait. He sat patiently on the carpet while the jeweler made a sketch. 1 week later, the Duchess returned to the city to collect her necklace. A simple silver chain with a small shimmering pendant in the shape of a dog. Not just any dog, but her dog. The jeweler had captured him in miniature, right down to the smallest detail. Turning the pendant over in her fingers, the Duchess noticed the paws, the whiskers, and the bright, intelligent look in his eyes. The Duchess fastened the chain around her neck and never took it off again. It was always with her, as a reminder of the wealth she had given up, and a symbol of the only thing that truly mattered. Every day, she went for long, leisurely walks through the woods, her dog running and barking ahead of her. As she walked, she felt the weight of the pendant against her chest and smiled. Adele pauses the story and sips her tea one more time. Then she carefully picks up the pendant on the tray and hands it to you. "This is the pendant that you hold in your hand now," she says. "A tiny silver dog, immortalized forever by his owner's love." You gaze at the pendant, rubbing your thumb along its edges, and feel the weight in your palm. You close your eyes and settle deeper into the armchair. You can see the Duchess in her house along the edge of the woods, tending to a garden, while a family of dogs trots across the field. It's hard not to admire her courage to do what makes her happy in life, you think. You open your eyes and hand the pendant back to Adele, thanking her for the story. Perhaps you can come back sometime for another one. With a smile, Adele invites you to come back anytime. Her grandfather's old collection has a few other unique stories to tell. With evening falling on the streets outside, you decide to head home. You thank Adele once more and promise to return again soon. on the way home, and all during your nighttime routine. Your mind lingers on the Duchess, her dog, and their peaceful life. It takes your thoughts to a quieter place and time. One where you feel relaxed and at ease. Where you are comfortable just being yourself. And eventually, those soothing thoughts help you settle into bed without any stress or worry, and fall into a restful sleep.